Have the blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with Sabbath. Thank you for granting us a changing of the showbread today. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you alone are glorified. Thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for your presence among us right now. And thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night. And thank you for guiding us each and every day as we walk closer and closer to you and closer and closer to getting home. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the trials. Thank you for the courage. And thank you for the latter rain so that the signs may follow your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. And Adrian, I don't know. I just got a PM from Adrian about a book we were talking about last night. There's a book out there that I handed to a friend many years ago, and I never got the book back, and I want it. And that sounds familiar, but I'm going to look this up online if I can get it online. The book, I guess, is called Trials and Triumphs, Miraculous Stories of Sabbath Victories by Crystal Earnhardt. I don't know. I'll look that up. Because I got to tell you, it really helped a lot of people, and I actually gave it to a person once, and I should never have done. I should have just Xeroxed it or something, because it's a small book. But thank you. I'm definitely going to check into that, so thank you very much. Okay, we're starting a brand new lesson this week, lesson number 6. And for those of you that have taken the baptism studies, this is more or less the same studies. These are last day studies, but we go into a little bit more detail here, which is, you know, the Lord's will, because a lot of people have already been baptized, and this is just more or less like a refresher course, which is always a good and wise thing to do as we get closer to the Lord's arrival. We have to prepare to meet our Lord, just like John the Baptist was preparing them 2,000 years ago. We have to get ready. So, question number 1. Did God create only visible things? All right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." You know what amazes me about this truth is everyone you meet, and this includes atheists, they all know there are things that are literally alive, yet so small we cannot see them. I mean, take oxygen, for example, you know, the oxygen that we breathe. As massive and as large as our atmosphere is, we can't see it. And even when you go into outer space on a shuttle or something, something like that, you can't see it. You can see the reflections of the ocean in it. It looks a little blue on the edge. Like if you look at the edge of the planet, you'll see like a blue, it looks like an atmosphere, I guess. But still, you can't see the oxygen molecules and the hydrogen molecules, and there's little bits of helium and whatnot in there too. Yet even though they know this, they still cannot grasp the concept of the Holy Spirit or even angels that are all around us. You know, some good angels, of course, and yeah, there's some bad ones too. But there was a video I put on the site a few months ago in regards to the inner workings. Some guy came up with a way to computerize what it looks like when a cell splits, you know, like one of the chromosomes split or whatever. And he just showed one cell. And he showed how the computer generated a three-dimensional concept as to what's actually going on during the split. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life, because the Bible does say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All this stuff cannot be seen with the human eye, but it goes on trillions of times in each human body every second of the day, I'm assuming. But just to see what happens in one cell, it looked like, well, I was going to say a city of people, but no, it looked like a planet of people. I mean, because he starts zooming in, and you see all these little dots moving around, and he keeps zooming in, and it's just you get a concept of how vast this area is. It's like a planet, and it's just filled with all these like little beings running around doing something so that your one cell can split. And the way they were running up and down the threads as they were going towards the split and stuff, it's just, they all have minds of their own. They have a duty to do, and they do it. And this is, again, all completely and utterly invisible, what some scientists like to refer to as inner space. So, anyway, question number two. What superhuman beings does the Bible mention? In Psalm 8, verse 5 says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." And why the author of this study uses the term superhuman here is beyond me, but we humans won't be like the angels of heaven until we get there. And they are supernatural at this point, but then that's just me spitballing. The fact our God has blessed us with angels as ministers unto us is just mind-boggling. If you recall what it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, it says, after Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and tempted of Satan and was with the wild beasts, that the angels ministered unto him. And as we also know, Jesus came here in our flesh to give us the perfect example as to how to live and trust the Father. Still, it amazes me deep within that our Father would love us so much that he would assign supernatural beings to help us day by day from the crib, from the womb, because he names us in the womb. And what an amazing thing it would be to actually see them doing their work. That being said, what does the next question ask? Has anyone ever seen an angel? All right, question number three. Numbers 22:31 says, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and a sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face." We all know who Balaam is, right? So, do you also recall, though, how Elijah, I think a better example would be what went down with Elijah's understudy, where he prayed for his young understudy to see the angels as well. It says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah." This is the mindset we got to have today, and this is the mindset the Gideon band will have. And this is what scares the daylights out of guys like Obama or Ratzinger or Tony Blair or any of these leaders in the government in the New World Order. It scares the daylights out of these guys because they know. Well, actually, the demons in them know, because the devil is what's prodding these guys. They all think probably they're Luciferians, of course, you know, and they're thinking that Lucifer's going to win. They call him Lucifer when he's actually Satan. And but to be a fly on the wall of the tent that day, huh? Liza's understudy saw. I mean, you know, I'm sure many of us, myself included, can speak of times in our lives when we either saw angels or knew angels were involved in a certain situation. And you don't have to be part of the Gideon band to see this. I mean, after all, it is written in Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 2, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." In other words, keep in mind at all times we are not only being ministered unto, we are watched as how we minister unto others. For example, I recall a story I heard online regarding a certain TV preacher. As he was stepping out of his most recent fundraising event, heading towards his waiting limousine to take him to his private jet so that he can rest in one of his many mansions, as a young pregnant girl walked up to him, who also had a toddler with her. She begged him for help, as she was homeless and hungry, as were her children. He was in a rush, so he handed her a $20 bill, which he later listed as a tax write-off, because they showed this receipt on the screen, right? This man is a billionaire. Was he just tested by the Lord? Was that young pregnant girl actually an angel? We won't know until that day comes, of course, when all things are shouted from the rooftops. But that's a scary thought when you think about it. Question number four. It says, what type of angels were stationed all at the entrance of the Garden of Eden when man was driven out? And Genesis 3:24 says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And the study quiz also mentions the following. It says, angels are not the spirits of dead people, as some may suppose. No one had yet died when Adam and Eve were driven from Eden. The Bible speaks definitely of the existence of intelligent beings in the universe before the earth was created in Job chapter 38, verses 4 and 7, which says, where hast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, the Lord's talking to Job when he's dealing with the situation. And the Lord says, declare, if thou hadst understanding, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So none of us know how long the angels were alive and doing as they do in our Father's kingdom before the earth and Adam and Eve were created. We don't even know how long Adam and Eve raised or resided in the garden either. I mean, we just don't know. What we do know from countless witnesses, there are angels that do minister to God's people, and they have been doing so on this planet for literally 6,000 years. So, but we don't know how long Garden of Eden was going on, and we don't know how long it was before Garden of Eden was even created. So no need to speculate or second guess. We just don't know. So number five. And it says, are angels very strong? And Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So how strong is excelling, you ask? One angel was able to keep Adam and Eve, or anyone that approached the garden, from entering in it. When Daniel was in the lion's den, and the angel shut the mouths of those massive beasts. Or an angel was able to circumvent all security and rescue Peter from a Roman jail. He even made the gates open by themselves. Just the presence of a single angel made all the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb of Jesus to faint in abject fear. In other words, the angels of our Lord sent to minister and protect us are perfect, and they're created to do just that. Absolutely nothing can prevent their duty. And again, the leaders of this world know that. And this is one of the reasons they push this fear factor all over the planet. Everything from economy crashing to nuclear war or nuclear meltdowns or earthquakes. I mean, they push fear left and right all over the place so as to keep the Christians fearful. Why? Do a little study on why Peter sank in the water as he was walking towards Jesus. Satan knows if he can get a Christian to fear, that the Christian's not going to be as effective when he's on his knees. Peter took his eyes off Jesus for a moment and looked at everything that the devil was advertising, like the wind and the waves and scary stuff, because I mean, Peter, a fisherman, he knew people drowned and died at sea when the weather got bad. It's a scary thing to be on a boat when that weather's throwing you around. Because if you get tossed overboard, odds are your boat's going to be flipped and capsized, and you've got nowhere to go in those crazy waves. And how do you tread water when the waves are whipping around like that? And if the waves don't get you, what's under the water that might get you? So he let fear get to him, and his faith was less effective. So again, do like Elijah's understudy, or actually like Elijah did, to try to train his understudy. You've got to understand, those that are with us are greater than those that are with them. You've got to keep that in the back of your mind at all times. They may be able to flex their muscles. They may be able to point their guns. They may be able to send a bunker buster and destroy your home from underneath. But they can't do so without our Father's permission. And that's what scares them, because they're just men like the rest of us, or women. You know, they put their pants on one leg at a time. And here's the neat thing. Yeah, they've got angels with them, just like we have angels with us. And they have their God with them, a fallen angel, but we have the creator of that fallen angel with us, because the angel wasn't fallen at one time. They have a losing proposition already before them, but they don't know it because they're all deceived. We are going to win irregardless of what they say or do. And they have already lost. So even if they were to kill us, what does it matter? We are not to fear those who can kill the body. We aren't to fear he who can destroy the body and the soul in hellfire. So, number six. How swiftly do they move, the angels? Ezekiel 1:14 says, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That's pretty fast. They left and came back in the time it took for lightning to blast. Now, we all know how fast lightning flashes because we all live on the same planet. But to give you another idea of just how fast these angels move, I'd like to share something that happened to Daniel the prophet. As we know, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den due to the evil methods of corrupted politicians in his day. And by the way, the Lord was revealing this to me the other day in silent prayer in the midday, that what they did with Daniel is what they're doing with us right now. They couldn't get to, and I got to make a note of this because I was praying, asking the Lord to remind me so I could put this in my praise list. But let me just hold on. Daniel and politicians. Okay. They knew they couldn't get to Daniel because Daniel was a good man. And the only way they can get to Daniel was through his God. And so what they decided to do, unbeknownst to Daniel, was they got a law passed that declared worshiping Daniel's God would become illegal. Right? And they know they can't get to us. Satan knows this. This is the reason for this omni-laws. He knows he can't get to the Gideon band. He knows he can't get to the people that we proclaim the truth with that will, in fact, be martyred before the plagues begin. So he knows that he can't get to us. And the only way that he can try is what he did in Daniel's day and all the other days. I mean, Esther's day, too, or Shadrach's day, Meshach's day, Abednego's day. He did the same thing with all of them. The only way he can get at them is the way he would try to go after Daniel in his day. Use the politicians and make worship illegal, real worship. You know, the fake worship, well, that's legal. So as we also know, in regards to these evil methods of these corrupt politicians in Daniel's day, we also know mankind is always given every opportunity to do the right thing up until the very last second before the sin is committed, because we have a merciful God. And we know this by personal experience and how we feel the guilt of grieving the Holy Spirit directly after the sin is committed. So we know we have split-second decisions to make at times. And we know there was no guilt up to the very second of doing so. When we do stupid stuff, proving we're still able and still capable of not doing the act. Okay? I mean, even 1 Corinthians 10:13 says we've got an easy way to get out of it, but sometimes we're just too stupid, spiritually stupid. And we also know that when Daniel was protected by the Lord, those that were used by Satan to get Daniel into that lion's den were cast into the den. The Bible says in Daniel 6:24 that the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lion's den. Them, you know, their children, their wives, and their lives. And the lions had the mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces or whatever. They came to the bottom of the den. So before they even hit the ground, they were killed by the lions. That means up until the very second the king's men let go of Daniel to cause him to fall into the den, the angels were waiting to see if they would not cast him in. Because even though they're under the direction of a king and they have to obey their king, men have decided not to do as the king commands. We even see that today. Some guys in the military are getting in trouble right now because they refuse to acknowledge Obama because they know he is not an American citizen. So, but the second they did let go of Daniel, those angels were off to tell the Lord in heaven about what was happening to Daniel. And those of us that study the Word and have done the research regarding the Orion Nebula, which, by the way, is the brightest nebula in the universe that we know of, and the only one that can actually be seen with the naked eye from Earth, that nebula is, in fact, the place where our Father's kingdom is presently residing. Even scientists cannot explain the white, open space that's filled with light. They can't explain it. That nebula is 1,500 light years from Earth. Those angels had to travel to that nebula, speak to the Lord, and then race back to shut the mouths of those lions before Daniel even hit the ground. Now, even if some don't believe it happened that way and they think the angels went to our Lord to converse with Daniel's plight within the very day it was going down, that is still an amazing act wherein they would have to travel 1,500 light years within 24 hours. Now, to give you an idea of how far that is, if a man traveling at the speed of light were to do this, it would take him 1 year to travel just one light year. But man cannot go anywhere near that fast. Okay? So let's say man traveled in a car 60 miles an hour. it would take him 11.2 million years to go one light year, just one light year. And these are, and this, the nebula is 1,500 away. And then you got to keep in mind, you got to come back too, so that's another 1,500. The space shuttle goes 17,500 miles per hour when those boosters are blasting. Those things burn out, by the way. So if they were able to figure out to keep those things going and to go 17,500 miles an hour, it would take them 38,262 years to go just one light year, or 57,393,000 years to get to the nebula, and then another 393,000 years to return. But the Lord's angels are able to travel those 1,500 light years in the twinkling of an eye. That's how swift those angels are. So, just thought I'd share. Number 7. I thought that was exciting to research that out, by the way. Number 7 is, what have they been sent forth to do? And Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, isn't that amazing? They are much more mighty and powerful than us. They are supernatural in nature, and they are literal residents of heaven, yet they minister unto us. Do you recall when Jesus said in Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Angels are a perfect example of that meek and humbled spirit of the kingdom of our Lord. Yet down here, we see men who claim to be doctors of divinity standing proud as peacocks when they stand before people seeking their worship. Would men such as this be found in such a kingdom as New Jerusalem? No, of course not. Yet many lift up these men as if they're gods on earth. Worse yet, look at the popes of Rome, who literally claim the title God on earth in writing. And when John Paul II died, he was immediately fast-tracked by the proud prelates of Rome to be worthy of the title of saint, and they're still working on that to this day. If angels were the only example we had to how it is in the kingdom of our Savior, we have all the evidence we need to know we need to work in our characters. 1 Peter 3:4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Well, amen to that. Okay, question number 8. It says, how might we meet an angel someday? And Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, many of us no doubt have done this at least once in life, or have experienced this at least once in life. And some of us may actually have the opportunity to realize it after the fact. Many years ago, I was blessed with a chance. Now, this isn't the first, and I'm hoping and praying it ain't the last either, but many years ago, I was blessed with a chance to know almost instantly that I entertained an angel. One day, I was on my way to work, and I had a strange situation going down that I was dealing with that was ever-present on my mind. I just couldn't shake it, and this was right before I made the decision to follow the Lord's will and not what man's opinion of his will was for me in my life. You know, was I supposed to do this career choice, or was I to go forward with this calling that the Lord was pulling me at? So anyway, I pulled over to a neighborhood church to pray before going to work. As I walked into the church, there was this large black guy sitting in the back of the last few pews and eating some fruit. And I headed for the front of the church to pray, and as I got next to him, he asked me for a handout. Well, I put my hand in my pocket, and I pulled out my last $20 bill. For a split second, I was hesitant to give him my last dollar, but then thought, you know, I can get more when I get paid in a few days. And he was obviously homeless and in need, so I just gave it to him and proceeded to the front of the church. As I began to pray, I heard him behind me get up and leave the church. Then the thought came to mind that I left my car running right outside the door. And I was tempted to think that since I was in a fairly bad neighborhood, He's probably going to steal my car. And worse yet, I just gave him $20 worth of gas money. So I bolted for the door as fast as I could. I mean, I ran from the front of that church to the back of that church as fast as I could. And I was able to get to the door just as it was swinging closed, which means he just stepped out. And I burst it. I mean, I just popped that door open as fast as I could. But when I did it, he was gone. I looked up and down the street for at least a mile down the street and for the same distance when I looked the other way. And nowhere, I could not find this guy anywhere. It then hit me. I was just tested to see if I was serious about doing the work the Lord was asking me to do. And that's why I was in that church praying. And he answered my prayer at the same time and showed me. It was an amazing day, I'll tell you that. I mean, all the way to work and all day long at work, I was praising left and right. It was not long after that that I wrote and shared my very first track. And that first track was about Noah's Ark. And the rest, of course, is just history. But the thing is, that was a very moving experience for me. And I joke about this every now and then that, if I get in heaven, when I get there, I'm going to ask that angel for my $20 back. But not for, because you can spend it in heaven. It'd be nice to hang it on a wall kind of a thing, but still, as a testimony. But I don't know if that's even allowed. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I'm home. That's all that matters to me, But anyway, I thought that was pretty neat. And I'm sure many of you had similar experiences, and even with the scary stuff, too. Certain death is looking you straight in the face, and all of a sudden it's gone. That's pretty neat, too. So anyway. Wow, I just found out, Brother David shared that light travels at 186,622 miles per second. Man. Okay, maybe we can do one more. Let's see. This is kind of it's perfect timing, too. It's kind of a long one, the way I respond, because I got some scripture in this one. It's number 8. I think we'll finish with this one. This is, how might we meet an angel someday? Oh, wait. Isn't that what we just did, or no? Yeah, we just did that one, didn't we? Number 9. Oh, yeah, number 9. Okay, that's the long one. Okay. Number 9. How do angels protect God's people from danger? Psalm 34:7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. That fear, by the way, that's speaking here, is not the same fear most defined today. I mean, this is reverent fear. As for them protecting us, I can attest to many instances in my life where, and I believe, angels prevented harm from coming to me, as I mentioned a moment ago, and a few times in life was graphically spared as well. I saw evidence, but I don't want to get into any of that at this time. However, I will share a story I heard some years ago that some of you may have heard before, and I do this for the sake of our new brethren, because I think I even shared this last week or a couple of weeks ago. Many years ago, there was a small church family of around 19 souls. They needed to get some business done in a town about a day's travel by foot. One man was elected to carry the money to that town to get the work done. And, of course, I'm paraphrasing left and right here because I don't remember the whole story. His brethren prayed for him and asked the Lord to protect him on his journey from thieves that often frequented the road that he was bound to travel. As he bedded down in a field for the night halfway to the town, he noticed a few men that looked to be thieves not too far from where he was planning to sleep. So he got on his knees, he prayed, and he asked the Lord to keep him safe, and he went to sleep. The next day, after he finished his business in town and was heading home, he noticed those men in town that were down the road from him, and he approached them and asked them why they didn't attack him that night. And I could see any Christian doing this, because they always like to see and glorify the Lord, to testify. And they stated that they feared the 19 large men that surrounded him as he slept that night. His church family of 19 had been praying, and he had one guard for each soul that had been praying for him that night. The study notes also have a few instances in Scripture wherein angels have been there for people, and not just to protect. Yes, angels do protect us, and this is why we always pray ahead of angels about us. But notice what it says here in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 8. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of the one, as one of them, by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw it, he arose, and he went for his life, and came to Bathsheba, and belongeth, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. In other words, he ran for his life. He got scared. Going on verse 4 and on, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and he did eat, and he drank, and he went in his strength, and out of the strength of the meat that 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So, the angel was sent to help Elijah in his trying time after being threatened with death. The angel was sent to strengthen him to continue the work. Verse 9 confirms this. It says in verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? In other words, the Lord sent Elijah to do the work he had been doing all along, but he never sent Elijah to go into hiding in the wilderness because of some threat to his life. The Lord sent him to the brook Cherith, and then afterwards he sent him to the widow of Sarepta, and Elijah was also sent to stand before the idolatrous priest at Carmel as well. And he was even given strength to guide the chariot of the king all the way to the gate of Jezreel during that rainstorm where Ahab couldn't see his way. So the Lord asks Elijah, who is it that sent you to cower in fear in the wilderness? Truth is, brothers and sisters, we know exactly who it was that moved Elijah to run and hide. 2 Timothy 1:7 clearly says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, it was Satan that got the best of Elijah that day. And the days are coming when many of us will be tempted not to do the work out of fear of what others will do to us. In fact, those days have already come. I lost count as to how many people were moved by Satan himself to send me threats in email or on the phone or in snail mail or even face-to-face. I know who is behind their efforts, so I just ignore their threats and then continue on in the work because I know I am being tested, while at the same time I know many need to hear the truth I am called to share. I also know that if I don't do it, the Lord will send someone else, and I'm going to end up forfeiting the blessing that I want. So, in the notes, there are a few more instances of the angels working with God's people, and I suggest everyone check out all of them as soon as you can. And it'll definitely help you in the coming days when the threats and the circumstances designed to slow and even stop us or the work we do will become more frequent. However, I'd like to share just one more. All right? I got a couple seconds here. It's Acts 5:17-23. It says, and the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought, because they thought they were still in jail, right? But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut up with all safety, and the keeper standing without and before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. So keep in mind, brothers and sisters, if we see the people of God in the scriptures being blessed like this in their day, after the early rain already came upon them, we too will see the Lord's hand move like this in our day as the latter rain falls upon us. It doesn't matter that our technology is better and they have the ability to track us and do whatever they can with drones and cameras. It really doesn't matter. If an angel can open up a gate to let Peter out, he can certainly close the eyes of a camera on a drone. So, and we've already seen many angels already in our lives and the lives of others already, so not to worry. Do the work you're called to do, and you're going to get blessed like you never, ever could imagine. Hope and pray you were blessed. That was shared this Saturday. Be back in a second.